Nutrition and health. You don't have to look too far to know that we're facing big challenges in relation to nutrition. Some of these are shown on the word cloud here, but you may be able to think of others too. Globally, malnutrition continues to be a major risk to health and well-being, whereas in many developed countries, obesity and poor food choices tend to be the issues we think about, and there is strong evidence for the impact that these have on our health. Food also affects our health and well-being in other ways too. It's an important part of culture in all societies. Just think about how important food is in our traditions and festivals, such as Christmas or Eid. What we eat can be influenced by our religion and ideological beliefs, such as the growing green tradition with its emphasis on organic foods. Thus, food is linked to our sense of identity and our psychosocial well-being. Today, technological development and globalisation have led to increased accessibility and diversity of the foods available to us. Changes in family structure and employment impact on meal patterns, what we eat and where we eat, such as in restaurants and fast food outlets. The presence of advertising is also known to have a strong influence on food choices, and this is not always seen as promoting the most valuable foodstuffs for health. Whilst malnutrition and poor nutrition still have a devastating impact on health and economic development in the developing world, this resource focuses on problems with nutrition in developed countries, such as the UK, and in particular in relation to healthcare. Energy requirements and diet. One of the key features of our diet is to provide the energy we require for our bodies to function. Energy comes from three key components of our diet. These are carbohydrates, found in rich supply foods such as grains, rice, starchy vegetables, and sugary foods, proteins, found in foods such as meat and fish, and fats, found in foods such as oils, nuts, and animal fats. Gram for gram, we can gain the same amount of energy from proteins as carbohydrates, and we can gain up to 9 times as much energy from fats. However, proteins are also required by the body for other purposes, whilst the utilisation of fats can lead to other problems, such as high circulating levels of cholesterol, so carbohydrates are often considered to be the mainstay of energy provision. On average, a man requires about 2,500 kilocalories a day, and a woman about 2,100. However, the amount of energy we actually need is dependent on a number of things. Our level of activity is one of the most important. The more active we are, the more energy we require. Age is also a significant factor. In later life, our requirement for energy generally decreases, but this is related to changes in activity levels, health, and mobility, rather than changes in metabolism alone. Children and adolescents also have different energy requirements to adults, and these reflect body size and growth. Malnutrition. We tend to think that malnutrition is a problem in countries with lower socioeconomic status, but studies show that malnutrition is a common phenomenon amongst certain groups, even in the developed world. Older people are one group affected in this way. In recent surveys in the UK from 2009, 42% of people over the age of 60 admitted that they struggled to afford food along with fuel, and 22% stated that they missed meals to cut back on costs. The UK National Institute for Health and Care Excellence defines a person as being malnourished if they have a BMI of less than 18.5 or have lost a significant amount of weight, such as 10% of their body weight, unintentionally over a 3 to 6 month period. Patients in nursing homes and hospitals are at particular risk of malnutrition, especially if they are elderly or have other long-term conditions, such as heart or lung problems, mental health issues, or learning disabilities. Obesity. Obesity is now the most common nutritional problem in the industrialised world. The prevalence of obesity has risen sharply over the last 40 years, and the World Health Organization designated it as one of the greatest threats to public health in the 21st century. Obesity occurs when more energy or calories are consumed than are used during a certain period of time. The extent to which obesity affects health is established, but not completely understood. We know with certainty that obesity in the abdominal region predisposes to type 2 diabetes and gallstones. Obesity is also a risk factor for back, hip, and knee problems, such as arthritis, and also for high blood pressure. High blood pressure is in turn a risk factor for heart attack and stroke. There is also increasing evidence for a link between obesity and certain forms of cancer. The problem is not confined to adults. It is generally recognised that children and young people have a higher than recommended intake of sugar, and there is a rising incidence of type 2 diabetes in this group as well as in adults. The composition of the diet is very important. A high-fat diet seems to predispose more significantly to obesity than a high-carbohydrate diet. It is important to take a psychosocial approach to the understanding of obesity, rather than simply a medical approach that might tend to blame the overweight person for their behaviour. We have to consider other socioeconomic factors, such as food availability, pricing, and advertising. For example, there is a worrying, growing social trend in relation to healthy diet and the prevalence of obesity. In general, groups with a higher educational status and higher income have a more healthy diet with increased intake of fruit and vegetables than those with a lower economic status. Similarly, children of parents with higher educational status tend to have healthier and more regular meals than children of parents with lower educational status. Towards a balanced diet. A balanced diet needs to include the optimal proportions of different foods to provide the nutrients required and the appropriate amount of energy needed to keep the body healthy. Carbohydrates are the main energy source for most of the world's population. In poor populations, 80 to 90% of the energy supply comes from carbohydrates. Whereas in wealthier developed countries, this percentage drops to 50% or even less, with many more calories coming from fats. Neither of these extremes are desirable from a health perspective. Complex carbohydrates, such as those found in flour, grains, potatoes, wholemeal breads, and some root vegetables, are considered to be the best type of carbohydrates for energy, as they provide a slower rise in blood glucose levels. This kind of food also contains other nutrients, such as vitamins and minerals. Sugar is the least favourable form of carbohydrate to have in the diet, and is often referred to as empty calories. Today, we tend to look at the composition of a meal instead of looking at each sort of food individually. According to the so-called healthy plate model, half the plate should consist of vegetables, a quarter of the plate should consist of starchy foods, such as potatoes, pasta or rice, and a quarter of the plate should consist of fish, dairy, beans or meat to provide the protein required. Micronutrients and vitamins. As well as the food groups that we require for energy, there are a range of other materials that the body requires in much smaller amounts to perform its essential functions. These include vitamins and minerals, the so-called micronutrients. A lack of these leads to a type of relative malnutrition. Vitamins are essential nutrients that regulate the body's metabolism and are necessary for the utilisation of the building materials and energy we get from carbohydrates, fats and proteins. Vitamins are mainly acquired through our food and drink, but they can also be taken as a dietary supplement. There is no chemical relationship between the various vitamins, but we categorise them into two groups: water-soluble and fat-soluble. Vitamins A, D, E and K are fat-soluble, and vitamin C, together with the B vitamins, are water-soluble. Good daily sources of vitamins include fruits, vegetables, potatoes and wholemeal flour. Water-soluble vitamins are also found in meat, liver and milk. Water-soluble vitamins are less stable and more volatile than the fat-soluble vitamins. Proper cooking of food is important to preserve them. Cooking food by boiling and keeping food warm for prolonged periods, as may happen in care settings, can reduce the vitamin content. A balanced diet containing a range of different food groups should provide all of the vitamins necessary for health, but it's important to maintain the diversity of foods in the diet to ensure this is the case, and problems may arise where a diet becomes more restricted or limited. Older people may need to consider vitamin supplements, as vitamins are absorbed less well from the digestive system. Minerals. The body also requires small amounts of a range of minerals and trace elements. The most important are potassium, sodium, chloride, magnesium, iron, zinc, selenium, chromium, and iodine. Although the various mineral substances only make up about 4% of body weight, they are essential for life. For example, iron is required in order to allow oxygen to be transported around the body, whereas zinc is very important for wound healing and in relation to fertility. Minerals are not produced by the body and must be supplied through food and drink. The recommended daily intake of minerals is from 100 milligrams to about 1 gram. Trace elements such as manganese are also required by the body in very small amounts. Daily doses of trace elements vary from a few tens of milligram down to microgram amounts. General dietary advice. Whilst dietary advice can be confusing and sometimes appear to be conflicting, there are some simple principles that can be followed. 1. Choose a diet that is mainly plant-based and contains a lot of vegetables, fruit, berries, whole grains and fish, limited amounts of red meat, salt, sugar and energy-dense foods. 2. Maintain the balance between energy intake and energy expenditure. 3. Eat at least 5 servings of vegetables, fruits and berries every day. 4. Eat at least 4 servings of whole grain products each day. 5. Eat 2 to 3 servings of fish a week. 6. Use low-fat dairy products. 7. Choose lean meats and low-fat meat and limit your intake of red meat and processed meat. 8. Choose cooking oils or soft margarine. 9. Try to drink plenty of water rather than sugary drinks. 10. Limit your intake of added sugar. 11. Limit your intake of salt. 12. Supplements may be required to secure the nutrient intake of some population groups. 13. It is recommended that everyone takes part in daily physical activity for at least 30 minutes. 14. Eat regularly, 3 to 4 meals a day at 3 to 4 hourly intervals. This gives the most stable blood sugar level and avoids sharp spikes. If you wait longer, blood glucose levels may become too low and metabolic efficiency decreases. The hunger associated with skipping meals can also mean that you are more likely to turn to foods such as chocolate, crisps, hamburgers, and other fast foods. Nutrition in the elderly. For those aged over 75 to 80 years, food intake is often reduced. Broadly speaking, the requirement in total energy consumption drops by 20 to 30% between the ages of 30 years to 80 years. About a third of this reduction is due to the loss of metabolically active cells, which drives a reduction in basal metabolism. And about two-thirds of this decline is due to decreased physical activity. However, one should be aware that there is considerable variation in energy demand in the elderly based on body weight, environment, and physical activity. Disease processes, too, can affect the need for energy or specific nutrients. Whilst older people generally have a lower calorific requirement than younger adults, They may have the same or even higher need for essential nutrients, partly because the digestive system is less efficient at absorbing these nutrients. The consequence of this is that the diet should be even more nutrient-rich than previously. Reduced food intake particularly affects the intake of proteins and vitamins. 15 to 20% of energy intake should come from protein, 35% from fat, and 45 to 50% from carbohydrates. Therefore, these components of the diet must be given particular consideration, perhaps reducing fat and sugar intake in preference to protein. Factors affecting nutrition in older people. Many older people may experience conditions that reduce their ability or desire to eat. Stress, depression, and even loneliness can reduce the appetite and the desire to cook. Cognitive impairment, physical illness, pain, fatigue, and infections are further risks to appetite. Some drugs may cause nausea and discomfort. Physical disability can prevent people from going shopping and preparing foods and might lead to difficulties with eating. Dental problems, decreased salivation, dry mouth and tooth decay may make it difficult to absorb nutrients. Swallowing may become more difficult. This is known as dysphagia. Atrophy of the gastrointestinal mucosa may mean that the body digests and utilizes less of the food, whilst reduced muscle strength in the gut can lead to the risk of constipation. Patients with Parkinson's disease, for example, need more time to eat because food is transported slowly through the esophagus. They can also be affected by tremors in the hands, which in turn can lead to difficulties eating. Between 50 to 80% of patients who have suffered a stroke have eating problems. This may involve problems with swallowing or paralysis in the muscles of the body, leading to problems with posture or the use of the arms. Patients with dementia and a stroke may experience several challenges, including agnosia and apraxia. Agnosia is an impaired ability to interpret sensations such as smell, taste, and touch. Patients with agnosia do not understand what they should eat and what they should not eat. They can put inedible things in their mouths, and they often have problems with using cutlery. Apraxia is a reduced ability to perform practical actions despite being able to hear and understand. A patient can be seated ready for a meal without being able to begin to eat because they are not able to or can't remember how to use the cutlery, for example. Some patients with dementia can have a low tolerance to stress. Too much stimulation at once can be confusing. Mealtimes can be very confusing, especially if they are noisy, involve a lot of conversation, brightly coloured tableware, and so on. Carers should strive to develop a sense of tranquility around mealtimes. Supporting nutrition in healthcare settings. Older people living in residential accommodation may need help getting sufficient and balanced nutrition. It's important to give them a pleasurable mealtime experience and to create peace and a good atmosphere around the meal. Prepare both the person and the dining area ready for the meal. Ideally, individuals should be well rested so that they're able to make the most of the mealtime. You should also ensure that everyone is clean and properly dressed when coming to the meal. Help the person find a good eating position. They may have very different preferences around socialising at mealtimes, and this should be respected. The elderly often have preferred places to sit, for example. It helps if the meals are attractive and nutritious. Drinks such as fruit smoothies work well in this regard. The person's senses can also help to stimulate appetite. Encourage them to smell the food and talk about how it looks and smells with you. Provide different types of food and adapt the consistency for their needs. After meals, the person you are caring for should sit up for about 15 to 30 minutes, as this facilitates emptying of the esophagus, promotes bowel movements, and prevents aspiration into the lungs. Supporting nutrition at home. When elderly people are living at home, they may still require help to ensure sufficient and well-balanced nutrition. It is important to discuss and find solutions together. In some places, it is possible to have food delivered to the home. Some may need practical help to set up the menu and shopping lists. Various aids, such as anti-slip tiles, plate edges, and adapted cutlery, can help older people to remain independent in the preparation of food around mealtimes. Preparing foods in batches and separating food into individual portions and freezing for future use may also work well for some people. There are also many places, such as social, community, and church groups and clubs, that will offer mealtime opportunities to older people. Help with feeding. Some people cannot eat by themselves and need help. However, this must be treated with sensitivity and care. Requiring help to eat can easily increase the feeling of helplessness and dependence. Force of any sort should never be used during feeding. Allow at least 30 minutes with each person and avoid feeding more than one patient at a time. When feeding, it is important to have good technique. Maintain a firm grip on the fork, but move it gently so as not to damage the lips or oral cavity. The person you are feeding must be able to use their lips to get the food. Do not dry around the mouth, but rather pat to avoid soreness. Customize the fork or spoon sizes delivered to match the throat capacity and chewing pace. An increase in speed often results in someone refusing any more, so it's important to be patient. Summary. In summary, we've seen that nutrition is a vital but complex subject, especially for older people and especially when associated with healthcare needs. Supporting nutrition is an essential part of your professional responsibility and may make a very significant difference to the life experience and health of people you're caring for.